Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. And most of all, thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, I ask you to lead us into the supernatural. You're the only one that can do it properly. You're the very Spirit of God. So we expect you to lead us as we decide to open up his word tonight. May he be unfolded and revealed in ways that we've never experienced before. We give you, God, we give you all the glory, all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody say amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I want to reiterate some things that Apostle has been encouraging us to do. And he's really been ministering and talking about praying in the Holy Spirit. And I want to reiterate and to emphasize some things that he said and some things that will help us grab a hold of the importance and why is it he's emphasizing praying in the Holy Spirit so much. We'll see if you would turn me to Acts, the first chapter. Acts, the book of Acts is actually talking about demonstrations of the Holy Spirit, demonstrations of what the early church began to do. But there was this first chapter in Acts. Jesus was still talking and he was still saying something. And he said something that was very important to the church. Matter of fact, a question was asked and Jesus answered the question, but he didn't answer it the way that they wanted him to answer it. So if you would, look with me in Acts, the first chapter. Let's start off in the fourth verse. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. But now we switch, if you got a good Bible, this you should switch from black to red. Right? If you got a good Bible. It says, but wait, meaning Jesus is talking, for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Now, which promise is he talking about? He's talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I must go. In John, he said that I must go so that the Comforter can come. All right? Now, watch this. He said, verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now watch this, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Now, I find that strange that Jesus answered them and said, watch, he actually talking to them in a riddle, in a parable, in a hard saying, because they're not just going to get the answer just on a whim. They're going to get the answer on purpose, because there is an answer to that question. When will God restore the kingdom to Israel or his chosen people? Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which God has had put in his own what? Power. You see this? Power. In other words, it's under his control. But watch this in verse 8. He says, but ye shall receive. But ye shall receive what? So the restoration of the kingdom is in God's own power. But Jesus turns around and said, but ye shall receive power. Now let's ask when. See, Jesus answered the question when the kingdom is going to be restored to Israel or to his chosen people. Are you seeing this? Because once again, I said this before, but I want to make sure we understand that we should not allow praying in the Holy Spirit to be a badge that we wear on our letterman jacket of Christendom. You know how you're in high school, you're in college, and you letter and they give you a badge saying, hey, we won district or we won state or we were semifinalists in top 24 if you played basketball, top 24, and you just had that patch on there. No, this is not something that is just added to your letterman jacket of Christendom. This is something that is supposed to be used. Because if this is not used, then the kingdom can't be restored. Is that not what Jesus said? They asked him the question, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive. So other words, the kingdom is going to be restored to God's chosen people after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. So it's not going to be restored before, and it's not going to be time sensitive. It's going to be restored when and only when we yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria unto the othermost parts of the earth. Go to verse chapter 2. Now, apostles said something last week at the ministers' conference, and it bear repeating for us to hear, because he discovered an order. He discovered a way something is supposed to happen. And see, a lot of times, if we don't make these discoveries, then we'll find ourselves knowing the promises of God, but never able to walk in the promises of God. See, it's one thing to know the promises of God, but it's another thing to walk in the promise of God. Knowing the promise of God and walking in the promise of God, there's a process in between. See, so once you know the promises of God, now the next thing you got to do is find a proper order so that you can walk in the promises of God. Is that making sense? Now watch this. We find he discovered an order that's been there all the time, but it took the Holy Spirit revealing it to him and him releasing it to us for us to see this. Verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Watch what verse 3. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all what? Filled with what? And did what? As the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 2. The house was filled first. How is the house filled first? When we open up our mouths in English and invite the Holy Spirit in. If we don't spend time, watch this, house. Not only this house, but your house. So in order for me to get the full effect of praying in the Holy Spirit, I have to begin to worship God. I had to begin to praise the Father. I had to begin to thank him for what he has done. And then his Spirit fills the house. So when it fills the house, then you can go into your language and it becomes effective. Are you seeing this? See, so here we Jesus saying that it's under the power of God when the kingdom is going to be restored. Then the very next verse he said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Are you seeing this? And so if I want the Holy Spirit to come up on me, it first has to fill my atmosphere. If the Holy Spirit doesn't fill my atmosphere, then he can't come up on me. That's like you trying to take a bath in an empty bathtub. You want to get wet, but you ain't putting no water in there. That's the same way it is when we try to get into the presence of God without the Holy Spirit being there to escort us. See, the Holy Spirit is a person. So we have to treat the Holy Spirit as a person. So if the Holy Spirit is just like any other person, if you don't acknowledge them, if you don't invite them, they're not coming. They will not acknowledge you. So when we begin to acknowledge the Holy Spirit, he begins to fill our atmosphere. And then why is it important that he fills our atmosphere? Because it's him giving us the utterance. So watch this. Praying in the Holy Spirit is not a sideline regiment. This is something where you have to, on purpose, make time for. This is something that on purpose, that you have to make time for it and not be, watch this, not be in a rush to do it. Because I have to set the atmosphere. See, what we don't realize is that this house is showing us how our house should be. So I can't come to this house and praise and worship and not go to my own house and praise and worship. If the atmosphere had to be set here, it's got to be set at home. Are you seeing this? So Jesus has given us the answer of when the kingdom will be restored. The kingdom will be restored to God's chosen people after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. After we are filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's when the kingdom or God's ways of doing things is restored. Now, once God's ways of doing things are restored, everything else has to line up. So watch this. All the issues that we deal with, all the problems that we face, they have to line up after the power comes upon us. See, once the kingdom is being restored, God's ways of doing things, then everything that we're dealing with has to line up and straighten out. It has no choice. Because when the atmosphere is set straight and we begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit is now expanding. When he expands, everything that doesn't agree with him got to be pushed out the way. In this house, it's going to be literally impossible to keep up with where Apostle is taking us if we don't prioritize praying in the Holy Spirit. If we don't prioritize taking time not just out of habit, not just out of, I know I'm a Christian, I know I got to do this, but out of, I want to do this. You know, people do what they want to do. Yeah, people do what they want to do. If it means nothing to them, people will make the effort to do what they want to do. And so we have to allow spending time with the Father and the Holy Spirit, we have to want to do this. It's going to be impossible for you to keep up with where this house is going in the supernatural, where this house is going into the spirit world, unless you're able to have a desire to pray in the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. A desire to pray in the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with your flesh. This is not the same want like you wanting red beans. That's not the same want or desire I'm talking about. You get hungry, you want red beans. Okay, you want that, all right? But because that's what your flesh wants. But this want has to be a supernatural desire that overrides your mind and your flesh. I know I have to spend time with you. God, not only do I have to spend time, but God, I want to spend time with you. God, I'm yielding myself. I surrender myself to you. Father, I praise your holy name. Now, once again, let me deal with the flesh and the mind. Put your feelings in its proper place, which is your feelings are nothing more than indicators. Your feeling is only is an indicator or letting you know where you are mentally. Pain in your body. If you have a pain in your knee, that pain is an indicator letting you know something is wrong with your knee. Right? So that feeling, if you didn't have that feeling, then you wouldn't know something was wrong. So it causes you, now that I know something is wrong, now I need to go get this checked. All right, so now your feelings, your emotions are nothing more than indicators of how you're reacting in the mental realm. So whenever you don't feel like praying, now it's time for your spirit to step up and tell your mind you're going to pray. Because you're not feeling like you want to pray, it's only letting you know that you ain't thinking right about prayer. So if I ain't thinking right about prayer, that's no problem. All I got to do is now begin to tell myself to think right about prayer, and now I'm going to pray. So, no, you're going to wake up in the morning. You may pray in the middle of the night. Whenever you pray, sometimes you ain't going to feel like it. But remember, your feelings are nothing more than indicators. A person get angry. That emotion, that feeling, is letting everybody around them know they ain't thinking straight. Something about to happen. Somebody about to go off. So if that person wants to not be angry, they have to talk to their mental realm and tell it to calm down. Because the outer showing of anger or the outer showing of emotion is just letting us know what you're thinking on the inside. I'm trying to get you to see that your feelings are indicators. Your feelings are not determiners. It doesn't determine nothing. It's just letting you know where you are. Now, if you allow them to, they'll be determiners. So now, if you don't feel like praying, you know you hadn't prayed, and you don't feel like praying, and you follow your feelings instead of it letting it, just putting it in the place and letting it be an indicator to remind me that, hey, I need to pray, even though I don't feel like it. No, I'm going to pray. Now, it could be a determiner and determine your next move. So it happens so much for a lot of us when it comes to working out. I'm included. If you don't feel like working out, you stay there long enough and let that feeling linger long enough, guess what you ain't gonna do? So the way you combat that is you have to, I noticed that I ain't thinking right by not working out. So how you combat that? I immediately get up off the couch, go put on my gym clothes, and go do something. So the way you combat not wanting to pray or not feeling like you want to pray is to immediately put on your prayer clothes if you have to, put on your prayer shoes, get in your closet, and say, let's get this started. Because Jesus, the first thing Jesus told the New Testament church, he kept telling them about he had to go, and when he go, there's coming a comforter. And when he comes, he gonna tell you things that I couldn't tell you while I was here. So Jesus made praying in the Holy Spirit priority. That's the first thing he told the church. It was so important. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. It was so important that he even held up the Great Commission until that happened. He told them, don't leave Jerusalem until this happens. Don't leave Jerusalem until this happens. Don't try to face your situation until this happens. Go with me to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Let's start at verse 2. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walk according to the what? Flesh. Now watch this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now watch this. Watch what the Apostle Paul says. For the weapons, plural, of our warfare are not carnal, are not flesh-oriented, not flesh-originated, not of human, I'm trying to find the right word. I want you to understand what it means. In other words, you can't. All right, thank you, Holy Spirit. You can't come to a gunfight with a knife. You trying to face your situations in your own strength without the help of the Holy Spirit is you bringing a knife when the devil has an AK-47. For the weapons, let me say it like this, for our answers to our situations are not carnal. But watch this, but mighty through God. When you try to face your situation, when Christians face their situations without praying in the Holy Spirit, what you're trying to do is face your situations with God standing behind you. Praying in the Holy Spirit, listen at me very carefully. Praying in the Holy Spirit lets your problem see God and not you. Praying in the Holy Spirit lets your problem see God and not you. So it's mighty through God. So by the time I show up to do my part in the matter, God has already been there and set it up that when I do what he asks me to do, victory is inevitable. Don't you dare think for one moment that when they was getting that fire hot for them Hebrew boys, that God wasn't already in that fire taking the heat out. Don't you think for a moment that when they wanted to come against Daniel and then they was mad at his wisdom and they wanted to come against why? Because Daniel, why Daniel had so much wisdom? Why Daniel was able to interpret hard dreams? Because Daniel prayed three times a day. Now watch this. Daniel prayed 3 times a day and was not filled with the Holy Spirit. Was not filled with the Holy Spirit, and God on his behalf shut the mouths of lions. Don't you think for one moment that God didn't go before Daniel into that lion's den and told him, lions, not today. This is not your meal. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, you allow your problems to see God and not you. So therefore, our weapons, plural, or our answers to our situations are not carnal. It's not going to come through your mind. Or put it like this. Let me say it better like this. It's not going to originate from your mind. It might come through it, but it won't originate there. I don't believe that. Hey, give me scripture for it. No problem. Hebrews 11. Go to Hebrews 11. The answers to, now watch this now. Satan is going to try to put roadblocks in your life. That's inevitable. He's going to try to do it. Just for the simple fact that you have named the name of Jesus. You have told everybody that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. He's Lord of your life. So Satan said, okay, he Lord of your life. Okay, if he Lord of your life, let's see how you deal with this. So now we have to realize that we're no longer fighting a flesh war. It is a supernatural war. I can't fight in the supernatural without the Holy Spirit leading me. I don't know what I'm doing in the supernatural. But the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. Why? Because he created the supernatural. Hebrews 11. Our answers to our situations do not originate in our mind. It may flow through our mind, but it does not originate in our mind. Hebrews 11. That's why you should never act off your first impulse. Should never act off your first impulse. Because you got to make sure where that came from. Did that come from me or did it come from the Holy Spirit? Hebrews 11, verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So this scripture is simply saying that what we see came from a place we didn't see. So your answer is not going to come from what you can see. Your answer is going to come from where you can't see. See, that's why sometimes you may think you know the answer. But that could possibly be a trap to get you in deeper. Why? Because you got to remember, as a Christian, the answer to every last one of your situations is coming from the supernatural. It's not going to come from the natural. And so here we are. I don't know how people think they're going to get answers and not praying. See how the Holy Spirit works. When you're praying in the Holy Spirit, the Bible says when you pray in that second chapter of Acts, it says when they begin to pray, and the Spirit begins to give them utterance. When you pray in the Holy Spirit in that unknown language, your mind becomes unfruitful. Everybody around you, if they hear you praying, they don't know what you're saying. Only God knows what you're saying. Because the Holy Spirit is giving meaning to what you're voicing. So his utterance is now, you actually, Apostle said this, God is now talking to God about you and what's ever around you. So watch this. When that begins to happen, then I should be able, watch this. I'm going to get answers because God is not going to ignore himself. So if I'm not praying in the Holy Spirit, that means God is not talking to God. I pray in English. Hey, that's no problem. You ought to pray in English. But you're going to run out of English words. Oh, yes, you are. You're going to run out of English words. And then there are some situations you ain't going to be able to find no English words. God, this has to become priority. A lot of the situations that we're dealing with, the answer is there, but it's just in a mystery. And if we don't pray, here's a principle. Genesis, the first chapter, the Bible said, and God 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 said. Nothing happened until God said, right? So, and watch this. Nothing can happen in the earth realm until it's first said. So when you're praying in the Holy Spirit, you are praying in the earth realm, and the Holy Spirit is giving you utterance. You may not be understanding what you're saying, but whatever it is, you're releasing it in the earth realm. So now that it's released in the earth realm, it may be a mystery to you, but thank God for 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. Turn there. It may be a mystery to you. You may have prayed for 15, 20, 25, 45, 50, 60 minutes in the morning, and you might not have heard anything. That's okay. That's fine. But all you need to know is you have released answers into this earth realm. See, sometimes, see, y'all don't realize that God is in the past, he's in the present, and he's in the future. So sometimes when you're praying, God is sitting in your future. So if God is sitting in your future, if he reveals some things to you in your present about your future, you're going to be confused about the instructions. So God sometimes ain't going to reveal the mysteries to you until it's going to make sense to you to execute it. Did I make sense? But the point is, you got to release some things into the earth realm. Nothing ain't going to happen until it's released. That's the principle. Nothing can happen in the earth realm until it is released verbally. God wasn't silently saying, and he said, let there be light. He said, and he said, let there be light. And what it said, what happened? Light showed up. So when you're praying in the Holy Spirit, what you're really doing is, and God's saying. And God is saying. Robo sandarabasandara. And God is saying. Rorobasandarabasandegedaba. And you're releasing into the earth realms things that need to happen. Well, I told you to turn. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart, neither has entered into the mind or the spirit of man. That's what the heart is, a combination of mind and spirit. The things which God has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10. But, I love that word, because of that word, verse 9 don't have to stay like it is. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now, before we go to B part, now watch this now. If I'm not praying in the Holy Spirit, if I'm not exercising the gift of praying in other tongues, then that means I've already offended the very carrier of my answer. I've already offended the person who is going to reveal my answer to me. I was reading an article a couple of days ago. I think it was Keisha Knight Pullen. Yeah, Keisha Knight Pullen. Y'all remember Rudy? And she had got fired off the Celebrity Apprentice.
And they was asking her why she got fired off of Celebrity Apprentice. And she said, here's simple why I got fired. They wanted me to go ask Mr. Cosby for some money for this foundation, for this organization. She said, well, they don't understand. I hadn't talked to Mr. Cosby in 5 years. So what I wasn't going to do is call Mr. Cosby up after not having talked to him after 5 years and say, hello, Mr. Cosby, how you doing? Would you like to donate some money to this foundation? By the way, I'm Rudy. So she said, instead of me doing that, I'd just rather go ahead and get fired off The Apprentice. Here it is, we have the audacity to ask God to reveal things to us. And the way the Bible says, my Bible reads, watch this, what it reads. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. By the Holy Ghost. That's how it's going to get revealed, by the Holy Ghost. But yet I hadn't prayed in the Holy Ghost all week. But yet I go to God and say, God, I need you to reveal these things to me. But then but I haven't took time to pray through the person who's supposed to reveal this thing to me. Praying in the Holy Spirit has to become priority. That's the first instruction that Jesus gave them. He said, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't nobody go nowhere until the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you're going to have power. Power to do what? Restore the kingdom. See, what happened, what they wanted was, they wanted the kingdom to come in with no accountability. They wanted power with no accountability. They wanted things to happen without being held accountable. Jesus said, no, this is, we tried this before. We tried this before. We tried to give y'all people a power without accountability. Remember Adam and Eve? We tried this before. We're not going down that path no more. So if you want this power, you're going to have to wait until the Holy Spirit come up on you. And the way the Holy Spirit come up on you is by praying in the Holy Ghost. Go to Jude for me. All these are familiar scriptures. But I want to emphasize the importance of praying in the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you, some of y'all, you know, it's an exercise of will. I don't expect if you had been praying an hour, I don't expect you to jump out to an hour tomorrow. That ain't what I'm expecting, but I do expect something. I mean, even if you're praying, little old son of ba 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 ba, go to sleep. When you realize you sleep, wake up and son of ba 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 ba. Come on, it's funny, but that's how you. See, my mom always used to say this. She said, I can't understand how people pray an hour or more and their life don't change. And I'm sitting here realizing the same thing, because it was going through the motions. They really weren't praying, because you have to have your heart in it. If your spirit ain't in it, then you ain't doing nothing. So sometimes those of us who may be trying to pray and how hard is in it, and you may fall asleep for 30, 40 seconds and realize, wake back up and pray again, you'll get more accomplished than somebody praying an hour without their spirit being in it. So what I'm saying is you have to begin to, it's an exercise of will. Lord, I want to do this. When you want to do something, trust me, the Holy Spirit will help you. The Holy Spirit will help you get it done. If, trust me, the Holy Spirit is not going to throw up no roadblocks to you praying through him if you want to pray through him. He's not going to throw any roadblocks. But you have to want to do it. Well, did I tell you turn anywhere? Jude 20. Watch this. Here is a reason why you're going to have to begin to pray in the Holy Spirit and begin why you will not be able to keep up with apostles if you don't start a regimen of praying in the Spirit. Watch this. Verse 16. These are murmurers. Jude is talking about all the stuff that's coming into the earth realm. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons the admiration because of advantage. In other words, they're saying, doing anything to get the advantage. All right? But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in our last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Now, here's something that we as Christians have to understand. Jude is not alerting us to sinners. Jude is not alerting us to those who ain't living right. Those who just hellions. He's not alerting us to them. He's alerting us to the ones who proclaim to be Christians. How they told you they should be mockers in this last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, not having the Spirit. You already know sinners ain't got the Spirit. You know a heathen ain't got no Holy Spirit. So why would Jude have to tell us they don't have the Spirit? You already know this. So who is he talking about? He's talking about people who claim in the name of Christ but not reverent to the Holy Spirit. Because if you name the name of Jesus and you're reverent to the Holy Spirit, you'll follow everything the Holy Spirit says. And you won't, watch this, and you won't try to reorganize, restructure, rewrite what the Holy Spirit has already inspired. So watch this. So if that's the case, then people cannot take the Bible and try to prove homosexuality right. So if anybody who's trying to prove that homosexuality is right, they're sensual and and they don't have the Spirit in them. But if you listen at them long enough, without the Holy Spirit being there, they will convince you. This is who Jude is talking about. Them and anybody else who's trying to create their own religion. You need the Holy Spirit. See, one of the things I ask for before I talk to anybody, including y'all, you say you want to talk to me, and we got to meet face to face, and I need to talk to you. Okay, no problem. The first thing I'm asking God for is the spirit of discernment, what they want. What they want. I mean, I do it every time it ain't a person. Lord, what do they want? Because I want the Holy Spirit right next to me. Because if you want what's right, you ain't got no words about being found out about what you want. But oh, if you want something else, the Holy Spirit is dead. Hey, bomb, 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 bomb. And so now I turn my physical ears into them spiritual ears. You telling me this, but what is you really saying? Without praying in the Holy Spirit, the discerning of spirits is not at your disposal. Why? Because they operate as the Spirit. So if they operate as the Spirit will, and I hadn't prayed in the Holy Spirit, then that means the Spirit ain't going to be willing toward me because I've already offended him. Word of knowledge. present a fact by the present situation that you could not know only but by the Holy Spirit revealing it to you. In other words, you're in a situation. It looks like this is happening, but really that is happening. But you don't know that is happening until the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. That gift is not at your disposal if you're not praying in the Holy Spirit. Somebody called you for one reason. Got somebody asked you to do something for one reason, but it's actually another reason. When you have the Holy Spirit at your disposal, the Holy Spirit say they call you for this, but they really want this from you. It's not at your disposal if you're not praying in the Holy Spirit. All right, so watch this. Let's finish this. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most sacred assignment, your most holy faith, your most sacred assignment. Other words, if nobody else believes that God has called you and sanctified you and separated you and made you a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a king and a priest. Queens, if you don't know, if nobody else don't know, you should know. And you build yourself up. How? By praying in tongues. Praying in tongues strengthens you to finish your race. Why do you think Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane? Because he sure wasn't praying in English. Ain't no time to be praying in English when your assignment is you got to go give up your life for people you don't even know. That ain't no English prayer. Or that ain't, in his time, that ain't no Hebrew prayer. There ain't no prayer he wanted to pray in Hebrew in words that he knew. He had to go to a place where he was strengthened in his inner man to finish his race. You cannot finish your race. That's why preachers go crazy. That's why people, they lose their mind. That's why Christians lose their mind. It's because God is trying to take them someplace, but they're trying to go there in their carnal mind. You cannot go where God wants you to go in your carnal mind. You're going to have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The way you be renewed in the spirit of your mind is by praying in the Holy Ghost. You renew your carnal mind with the Word of God. You renew the spirit of your mind with the Holy Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy assignment, your sanctified assignment, your set-apart assignment by praying in the Holy Spirit. Lift your hand to be the offering envelope. The ushers are in the aisle to serve you.